live right here on the 9th day of September. As we're moving right along in time, you're joining me live tonight on WWCR around the world on the transmitting Jewel of the South. If you're listening to us on your computer, then that's wonderful. The reception is much better. Perhaps maybe where you are at, WWCR shortwave is having some difficulty, and that could be because of what we're going to talk about and what lies ahead for humanity. With all the problems that we have today, it's hard to believe that the Bible paints a beautiful picture of a futuristic time. We're living right now in inflation, recession, environmental deterioration, diminishing resources, unrest, oppression, wars, rumors of wars, apathy, loneliness, lack of direction, and those that have not sought the Father. Did you know, in times of trouble, the Bible says, greater is he that is in you. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. It brings out the best. All of the signs that our Messiah talked about in Matthew 24. We're living in those days. And yet, he said in coded language, we're going to talk about it in part two of 2012 prophecies. What does it mean? Does it mean the end of the world? No. It just means that there's going to be a great shaking. Folks, the earth is already shaken. The fire's already kindled of change. You've got to get used to the ideal. If you can't change, if you can't yield, if you can't bend to the blowing winds of change, you know, a mighty oak, although it's majestic and it sits anchored solidly in the earth with a gigantic root system, yet when the wind comes of change, it will bend to the direction of the wind. And so then, if you're familiar with Christ and his prophecy, I'd like to quote it for you. And ladies and gentlemen, if you have astrological knowledge of the heavens, and I do believe that part of our ignorance, our fear, and our superstition, you know, it's just like all of the wise people have the knowledge and they tell you not to seek for these things because it's witchcraft. Astronomy, the study of the stars, its positions and its meanings. And yet, encoded right in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse 10, that we'll lift a text tonight from that famous quote, "Go into the city." Ladies and gentlemen, that city is set on a hill. This is knowledge, the light. A city set on the hill cannot be hid. You yourself, liken yourself in the last days when the winds of change are blowing. Study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, it was the wise men in Daniel's day that was appointed to the court of the king. Now, what type of wise men were these? These were astrologers and astronomers, those who knew the movements of the star systems, the planetary systems, and the interpretations of such. And Christ said, "Look into the heavens," where he declared the very end from the beginning. We're coming up. And these last days, changed, not last days, where we're going to have the famous end time or roundup. This is just the beginning. The Bible paints a picture for those who have suffered with him to reign with him. Now, where are you going to reign? Right here on earth. It is the righteous that will possess the earth, so the righteous have nothing to fear but fear itself. And those who have no hope are the fearmongers that are preaching fear. Buy my gold, send me your FRNs, but you shouldn't have FRNs because they're going to be worthless, but send them to me and I'll send you what's going to be, oh, ladies and gentlemen, that ain't going to work. This is the age where people need to have the knowledge of what's going to happen. The knowledge that you need is a new age, a new day. And I refrain from using that word for obvious reasons because people have painted that word into a bad light. But it's a new age, a new day coming, a new day dawning, a new kingdom principle of the time when we move in the systems of the heavens. And if you don't believe that the Maseroth, the Zodiac, was very important, you need to go to the 38th book of Job and read the 31st through the 38th verses. You'll find out, as Daniel was a wise man, he was an instructor of those who were astrologers, the Bible said. And so Daniel had all this unique wisdom and was trained in the interpretation thereof. Now, if you have been told that this is witchcraft and you shouldn't indulge in it, why is it that all of the churches that are existing upon the planet, starting with the Catholic Church and the Jewish Church and the United States, one of the governments that employs a large number of astronomers and astrologers. Why are we going up into space? How do we know the position of the stars in the heavens? How do we determine their interpretation to the meaning and the systems that is divine, divided into the 12 constellations, actually 13. And we're going to talk about 2012, the last day before the year 2013. You see, it's not going to, time won't end at 2012. Although you have probably been scared, and as the proverbial ostrich that sticks his head in the sand when fear comes, get your head up out of the sands and look into the gray matter between your eyes and sort out what Luke 22 verse 10 means. Go into the city. There you'll find a man bearing a pitcher of water. Did you know that the symbol of the age of Aquarius is a man bearing a pitcher of water? And he said, there, follow him and go in and you will find a large upper room. Oh my, what codes? If you go to Revelation chapter 12, you will see the marvelous mystery of interpretation of another event that is marked by the signs in the heavens. The woman, the virgin, Virgo, clothed with the sun, the 12 stars. Oh my. Ladies and gentlemen, it just goes on and on and on. These men that wrote the Bible coded it in astronomical, and the interpretations thereof. And so then, everything has a unique system for those, even the wise men that found the Messiah, the newborn king. They knew where his star was in the heavens. Do you know where yours is? Did you know that the Bible says that God, Yahweh, that he hung all of the stars in a unified field relative to his own theories and conditions. He placed them there for purposes. And isn't it unique that we have this ancient art of the signs in the heavens being collected as a group of animals or things that paint a picture? Therefore, Yahweh, the great, magnificent artist that he was, taught the early man, Adam, the science of the heavens and its relative meanings, as he declared the very end from the beginning, and it's all marked into the heavens. Everything. What is the age of Aquarius? And if you look on the sacred circle, and when we teach the sons and daughters of Mount Zion, that the large chamber, upper chamber furnished, is the heavens above your head. Christ said for you to look into the heavens. You will see signs in these systems that he designed to give you a beneficial piece of information concerning your deliverance in the time of trouble. Therefore, if you are learned in the things that are meaningful, you won't get this in your local mailbox. They won't teach it to you. Matter of fact, they frown on it. They'll have you sing Amazing Grace and pass the bucket to empty you of your savings. They demand that you support their system as they blind you and dumb you down. My sheep are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, and therefore, since you lack knowledge, Daniel was an astrologer, whether you like it or not. And the Bible said he was full of the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said he was a wise man. The men that found the Christ child, they sing about him in the churches, but they'll never tell you who these wise men were. They were ancient wise men, astronomers, and astrologers who knew the positions and the meanings of the star systems where the sun came into Virgo at the appointed time with the moon under her feet and the sun overhead. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about that. Did you know that the Mayans knew that? That they had already mastered all of these secret science that came from the knowledge of the ancients before Egypt. In the year 2012 AD, the magnetic field of the sun will change. Now, this is the predictions of great solar flares. The Bible says that the sun will grow intensely hot. This is what it's predicting. And at this precession of time, when we have what is known as the sun bring to the X mark in the center of Orion, when the system comes to this point, 2012 is the date that they marked, that it will actually be the time that the sun centers exactly in this astrological form of time. And the interpretation is very interesting. They say, they predicted that a catastrophic, now when I say catastrophic, I don't mean that there won't be a survival, because the earth goes through catastrophic events, things that would scare you if you really knew the perilous times that we're in. That the earth is hanging in the balance on a thin thread, that we have what is known as asteroids coming toward the earth periodically. We're passing at a fast pace through time and space. Ladies and gentlemen, And if you knew some of the dangers and the perils involved in a system that is so uniquely designed by an intelligence that when this sun storm hits at the center in 20 and 12, thereabout, it will result in the reversal of the Earth's magnetic poles. Now, this sounds terrible, but in a way, it's not. Because this is going to usher in a new day, the age of what we call and what the poets and artists sing and write about, the age of Aquarius. This is the man that is depicted in the heavens. Now, it's very interesting to note that as the sun rises in the east, and if you look at the sacred circle and the appointed places on the sacred circle, if you have ever built an altar, you know what I'm talking about. And this information is for the wise and the learned. It has great significant meaning and purposes designed for you to know. These things are hidden from those who refuse the information and have been told that we shouldn't dibble-dabble in these things. And ladies and gentlemen, it's because Satan wants you dumbed down on the pews, sitting on everything but your pocketbook, parking your brain in the foyer of the 23rd chapter of your imagination and becoming susceptible to the doctrine of the bailbox ministry. Go out and look at a sacred circle. You know why that the ancients built circles? Because it actually opened up a field of knowledge between the left and the right lobe of the brain. The brain itself is a microcosm of an altar or a sacred circle. After the rotation will reverse, after the magnetic pole shifts, our planet's rotation. Now, listen to me well. After a reverse, the Earth will be catapulted into another age. The code of Venus correlates with this moment in time. It's the retrograde of Venus passing through the system that will erupt at the time appointed at the crossing. That's what 20 and 12 is all about. If you've ever been made aware of 11-11, and so many people, this is a code implant into our psychic being. It is a milestone, a, if you will, a warning light. When it flashes on 11-11, it's identifying a time that you should be prepared for. The Bible says this time will come upon man unaware. Now remember when it came upon those that were unaware in the days of Noah, life continued. The earth kept on keeping on after the flood. After Sodom and Gomorrah, time continued on. After 20 and 12, time will continue on. But there will be a new day. Now, getting back to the sacred circle, with Judah positioned in the east, and the point of reference to the magnetic currents right now that demonstrate the pole alignment to north. Dan sits at the top of the circle, and Denmark happens to sit right on the top of the world with one of the most ancient and wise peoples. Dan was referred to in the Bible as the judge. He's outside the sacred circle, not because of any other reason than what the Father appointed him to do. You see, there's only room inside the circle for 12. 12 makes up a perfect consolation of 12 consolations, and yet there's 13. Well, the age of 2013 will bring in another consolation number of 13. Ladies and gentlemen, the ancients knew this. They knew the very moment in time that the code that they have incorporated into their master teaching, and it's only given out to the secret societies. You yourself are put in a bell box, dumbed down with the theologians of the day, giving you grape juice and crackers, and a daily diet of Christmas, Easter, and Halloween, and Thanksgiving. That's the four seasons that they celebrate, and yet the sacred circle has more meaning purposes of north, south, east, and west, or air, earth, fire, and water. The elements that are incorporated into the sacred circle, along with the 12 sons of Jacob in the west, Joseph, in the 37th chapter of the book of Genesis. When I feel the anointing and the divine presence of why that Joseph had the inside track on the knowledge and revelation of what would befall our brethren throughout the ages. He saw it as the sun and the moon. Oh, my. And the 12 stars that are identified in Revelation chapter 12, it is the same astrological event of Genesis chapter 37, where Joseph had the dream that John wrote about in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelations. This is the age of Aquarius. Joseph just happened to be positioned, the tribe of Joseph, in the sacred circle. The Bible talks about the circle above the earth, the 12 consolations with the 13th consolation outside the sacred circle, watching over the other 12, because, ladies and gentlemen, there were 13 at the table. Oh, my. And when this is complete, this new day dawning, there's going to be a magnetic shift of electromagnetic energy into the soul, or the solar plex, or the mind of those who have been chosen before the foundation of the world to wear the sacred aura of the 13 colors of the spectrum that is unfolding in the last days. And the Father has saved the best wine for the last. These that are drunken on ignorance and fear and superstition, sitting in a bell box with a brain parked out in the foyer, hanging where they hung their hat. They hang their understanding and base it upon the simple facts of tradition, a way that seems right, and they will not come and hear the sacred knowledge that is supposed to be taught to the sheep, and therefore the sheep rejected it as they went with the goats. And therefore Yahweh said, gather up the halt and the blind, the poor and the needy. And so Yahweh is going to furnish the table with those who would be found with the grace of Yahweh, both the good and the bad, and those who the kingdom was intended for will be thrust out of the kingdom because they despise the knowledge. Yahweh will despise them. This is the characteristics of the changing of the ages as people will begin to struggle to adapt to the new energies coming into our system of thinking. Not only will the earth change, man will change. Now, if you're not able to make the change, or if you're not been taught the things that are pertinent and apply to the teaching and the logic of spiritual meanings, you must break free of centuries of false doctrine, destructive indoctrinations of a daily diet of Santa Claus, Halloween, Easter, and the things that the general bell box Christian worshipers take as sacred, when in fact all of it is myth, legends, and falsehoods. For well, you reject the commandments because the corrupt foundations of false societies built upon the bell box doctrine will crumble in the face of the change. It's a time of crisis. It will signal the end of the time that Satan has to rule. He knows his time is short. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when this new age comes, the new age of Aquarius, Joseph sits to the west in the sacred circle on the sacred altar that was first to begin to be built by Abel, where he brought a sacrifice of his understanding. The fire on the altar symbolizes the light of the mind. The eye is the light of the spiritual truth that is hidden from the world. They use an artificial light, and Yahweh said, because you say you see, your sin remains. In this time, as we break free from these false societies, we will come to the time spoken of that a golden dome on the horizon of time will fill the minds and the understanding of men and women, where that we will become in this new age unified. All of our differences, all of our dualities will begin to mix together like the sweet fragrance of the oils of the holy anointing spoken of in the book of Exodus, chapter 30. We will be the holy anointing, a sweet smelling savor in those days when the knowledge will become poured out. We will become the fragrant of the bouquet in the mix of time, inseparable from each other. We will each become each one's fragrance. In other words, you will love the smell of the understanding of your brothers and sisters who will be filled with the great knowledge of the great lilies that will begin to bloom in the last days, where we'll have unity. We'll have friendship. It will be elevated to a level of understanding in its most noble aspect, fit for kings with understanding. We will collaborate in the fraternity of love and friendship. have nothing to do with possessing a ego, because the ideal of our love now, that you belong to me, will end as we belong unto each other. The faults of our friendship will be for the convenience of spiritual understanding, not what can you do for me today. We're going to have a change with an exchange that we will prefer one another and love one another fervently, and by this shall all of the world know that this is the era of peace and unity and love. It will come through the polarity of the age of Aquarius. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when Christ came 2,000 years ago, and we have a precession of the equinox, that every 2,000 years or thereabout, we have a change of the signs in the heavens. We are now leaving the Piscean age of catching the fish. Now, the enlightenment of the man that stands in the heavens with a large picture. There you'll meet a man bearing a picture of water. This water is water of life. This water is the flood of light that will be poured into the vessels of light. It will flood us with complementary characteristics from the celestial throne of heaven. It will encourage us. It will enable us. It will enrich us and enlighten us. And the growth of our hearts will be for the growth of our inner being. Together in this day, we will promote the integration of our individuality with complete unity of the family of the Creator. In other words, they that vibrate and harmonize together will stand together on the sacred circle of time. This is a time to have all of our understanding melded into a divine purpose. We will no longer seek after the things that promote ego and flesh and style and profile as the billbox ministers pray, pay, and prosper and build bigger buildings. This building that we will concentrate on will be outside the brick-and-mortar buildings that they have built. Our knowledge will exceed. It will become a spiritual awakening, an activation of the theocratical oneness that I have longed for the last 50 years of my life. Oh, what a day. Oh, what a time. Oh, what a purpose. What great blessings lay just beyond the veil of the great age of awakening. That's what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, as we go through this time. I'm down at the bottom of the hour. Let me play you this beautiful song that Sister Linda has supplied me with, and I think it's very fitting for the age that we live in. Yahweh is birthing us into a new age. A reality check is needed for you to catch the shift so big. This is a conscious shift. This is a spiritual awakening. It is so big and so dramatic that it's like birthing us into a higher dimension. When I think of the shift, and I'd like to paint this scenario for you of a monarchy. If you look, ladies and gentlemen, at the monarchs, this beautiful butterfly, and if you can see yourself in the larva stage of a caterpillar, that's the flesh man. They are birthing us into a higher realm of understanding, and this is a perfect example of the day of our spiritual birthing. We have long been wrapped in our pupa. That's what it's called. It's a web that is spun by the caterpillar as the monarch lays the eggs on the underside of the milkweed. Think about the milkweed. That's the earth. And so as newborn babes or newborn caterpillars, that's what you look like to the Creator. Your flesh is worthless. And yet it's a vehicle. And it should be adored and taken care of the best you can. You should think about your body as the temple of the Creator. Although you're wrapped in the cocoon, as we call it down here in the South, chrysalis is the Greek word of the wrappings of the caterpillar as it goes into what we call a hibernation. It attaches itself upside down on a branch, and as it spins its little home, as it changes in a primordial soup, and the coding in its DNA, oh, how marvelous, it changes it into a whole new being. Amazing. This caterpillar becomes increasingly transparent during the metamorphosis. And then, amazingly, at the proper time, when the new day dawns, when the spring comes, it cracks open and the butterfly emerges. And as it wings its way through the air, they begin to dry out, and it discovers it is no longer confined to crawling. And that's what's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine yourself in the great time awakening coming soon. And you've already experienced it. You folks that have stood on the sacred circle with Pastor Buddy, or the ones that you have built as a result of your own understanding in the secret of the monarchy, as we lift our heads up for our redemption, as the caterpillar waits for this primordial soup to change its complex DNA into a beautiful monarch butterfly. As we lift skyward in our spirits to soar like an eagle that discovers it's no longer a chicken. Ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the point that the bell box can't hold us. The graves, these walking sepulchers that we've been deadened by the information fed into our system. Oh, they love to dumb us down. They love to keep a control of us. But, ladies and gentlemen, just like the great Titanic that hit the iceberg and sinkable ship burst open, and the cold North Atlantic, and I've been across her, it is cold, and it is dark, and the storms are raging. That's what the earth has been for the last 2,000 years. But ladies and gentlemen, the big picture is coming. The flock, our mentality, is beginning to change from the blind man sitting by the wayside begging to the appearance of the monarch. And on his wings we shall lift up, as it states in the book of Isaiah, on the wings of an eagle we will soar into the heavens. The spiritual understanding, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when men begin to seek truth, they're looked upon as withdrawing themselves, and the people think it's strange that you will run with them. You don't go to the mailbox no more. But one of the most frightening steps in our process is the surrendering, to turn ourselves upside down under the milkweed. And like the caterpillar, faced with losing our identity of the world, of the flesh realm, or the carnal understanding, and being dissolved into, and the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into, the primordial soup of change. Oh, but then comes the fear of death, dying out to the things that we once loved, and awakening anew as we begin to stare within the cocoon, waiting for the spring, the upward bound, the breaking forth, the singing, as we move from the temple of death and doom of the flesh and the carnal. To be carnal-minded is death, but to be spiritually-minded is life and peace. Unconditional love of the brotherhood. By this shall all of the world know that you are children, birthing in the new galaxies. You have new energetic exchange as you fly up into the heavens of love. You are now raising the vibratory frequency in your body. This energetic touching at a soul level is so powerful that it literally transforms the DNA of your old self into a new creature. Hating the things that you once loved and loving the things that you once hated. Then you have the energy of the waves and the patterns containing the spiral of a new life. You no longer run with the traditional things of the world. You no longer see things as you once saw them in the carnal mind. And this age, ladies and gentlemen, is coming, and nothing can be done to stop it. Nothing, and I mean nothing, will prevent you from acquiring the transformation, just like the caterpillar transformed himself inside the cocoon into a beautiful butterfly in the spring to go about gathering the sweet nectar of the flowers that bring forth the sun transformation of a new age and a new beginning of time. Oh, it's going to be wonderful, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be one of the most terrifying is times of trouble, such as the times that man has never seen. But to go through this metamorphosis of death, change, to emerge out of the cocoon of the flesh and the carnal realm, the earth itself must go through this transformation with you. As you change, the earth will change with you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, I know that we're coming up very soon on the Festival of Tabernacles. One more reason why that we should present ourselves living bodies, holy. Now, a living body that is dead to the world has no more desire for the world. The things you once loved, you'll now hate. You can't take it with you, ladies and gentlemen, that's for sure. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I can't afford to take off. Well, take off anyway. You say, they'll foreclose. Well, let them foreclose. Just like the metamorphosis of the caterpillar that disappears in his own little world, they'll see the change in you. And they'll wonder why you don't run with them to the same excess of rioting and partying, banqueting, eating and drinking and being merry as they're going to be in the day of transformation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. In Murphy, North Carolina, we're going to gather on the 26th day of September, beginning with a Feast of Tabernacles. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we hope to see you there. If you can and spare, and you can find time to metamorphically change your old ways into a new way. You say, Pastor Buddy, I've never been to a festival, and I wonder why I should go. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you gain nothing except standing on the sacred altar, the sacred circle, we have now a beautiful, beautiful video by our good sister, Linda, that has done prepared our tabernacle or our Pentecost meeting in Bryson or in Murphy, North Carolina. We're going to share that DVD with you. If you'd like to have it, you can write Pastor Buddy and I'll send it to you on the Pentecost meeting in Murphy, North Carolina. Now, Brother Bob has just delivered a DVD of the Passover. Sister Linda already had it. We've got two DVDs of the Passover meeting back in May of 2007. If you'd like to have that to see how we worship, you can see Brother Randy and Brother Dean and his sons and all the sons of Jacob and the daughters of Israel gathered around the sacred circle and building the altar there. It is on the video. If you'd like to see how an altar is built, an old-fashioned altar with 13 stones of the 13 tribes, with the four stones representing the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh in the center, and Dan at the top of the circle, where we get this amazing transformation as we step into the sacred circle, becoming unified as one with no beginning. That's what a circle is, and no end. Alpha, Omega. Oh, my. Elephant Taw. It is wonderful, joy unspeakable. Now, you'd like to call my pastor tonight, my sponsor, Brother Gary, down in the great state of Louisiana. That's 1-877-289-7439. Call Brother Paul for STEM Tech at 1-800-253-2748. Now, you can call me tonight live at area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to have my address, here it is. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to listen to us on WWCR, if you have the computer downloading ability and the internet, you can download us at www.wwcr.com. Click on Listen Live, Program 3 at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, every Sunday night around the world with Pastor Buddy. If you have a shortwave, you can hear us, of course, on 5070. That's Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. My time is already come and gone far too fast. It's past. But if you'd like to come to the festival over in Murphy, North Carolina, on the 26th, be there with us. Or listen to this.
There's just too much going on in my life.